All right, guys, what is going on today? We're here going to talk about assessing your fitness and health. I'm going to get into the post. I'll probably have a bunch of post commentary today if you guys want to stick around and listen to that. I also went back to our quicker theme music. I got some feedback last week. They were like, why is this going on so long? It's like, come on, man. This is just Braveheart. We're getting all fired up. Can't go wrong there. All right, so we're getting into the post right away. How to assess your fitness and health. As an exercise nerd, I've always been interested in what individuals find, quote, impressive in the realm of health and fitness. Depending on what world you're walking into, it might be a question of, hey, what's your bench? What's your total? What's your mile? What's your best marathon time? What's your Fran? What's your Murph? Etc., etc. Given my profession, people often qualify other people to me according to their perceived levels of fitness. People receive descriptors like marathoner, triathlete, Ironman, powerlifter, professional football player, D1, this or that. Given the way that our culture rewards or thinks about these titles, it is no surprise. However, it's important to understand that none of these questions and none of these titles gives you a definitive answer on someone's health. Oftentimes, athletes that have elite answers to the questions above or elite titles to their names actually have major glaring health issues. A core reason as to why is that being elite in one area often means specializing in a few movement patterns and repeating them consistently over time. This often leads to major imbalances in our bodies, which leads to compensations and potential health loss as a result. Think of your powerlifting champion who can't scratch his own back due to immobility, or your marathoner who can't squat 10% of their body weight. Only now are athletes starting to learn about the importance of maintaining well-rounded physical and mental health to maximize their overall potential. Golfers, F1 drivers, and hockey players would have never been found in a weight room just 30 years ago. NFL players would have never had mobility and kinesiology specialists and private chefs. None of these professions would have had full-time sports psychologists on staff. But as time rolls on, our ability to assess and improve some of this low-hanging fruit is getting much better. So, how do we create an assessment that can be universally applied? And so for right now, we're going to leave the mental aspect aside. Pain and injury, this is number one. You cannot be considered fit or healthy in my book if you're dealing with ongoing chronic injuries. One of the first discussion points in any physical assessment needs to be what hurts on your body and how does that limit your training right now? Jenny and I talk about this all the time. Quick side note, like this is one of the biggest things that's like shocking how many people are always have an answer to this question and like coaches and people are just not asking the question. Again, if we look at a professional football player, we can probably agree that they're an amazing athlete. But we wouldn't say that they're a pillar of health given the rate of CTE in the NFL or the rate of major career-ending injuries and washout in the league. Most individuals who put themselves to extremes are, on the low end, dealing with consistent chronic issues that will have longer-term ramifications, or on the high end, needing major surgery or surgeries to repair function. This is why if your goals are to be functional, fit, and healthy for your kids or grandkids, I strongly recommend away from endurance sports and often find those to be the least impressive titles of all listed above. It is rare that an endurance athlete will make it out of a career with proper bone density, joint health, muscle mass, flexibility, and stability that they can enjoy later in life. Now, this isn't to say that small tweaks or nags or flare-ups or patella tendonitis or plantar fasciitis won't happen. These things are very common and will definitely result if we're using our bodies to perform exercise and move. That said, the faster that you can learn to diagnose and fix them when you're young, the better chance you can have that these will not turn into longer-term major issues. Moreover, if you can learn what movements you're doing incorrectly or where you have movement inefficiencies, you can begin to attack them. Check out this great video explanation of current CrossFit Games champion Jeff Adler getting his running critiqued for movement errors. This is coming off the heels of him winning easily in Helena, which is a running-based event, and getting second in the 5K, and I think he ran like a 16-minute 5K at the CrossFit Games last year. Now, this is also a guy who clean and jerks like 380 pounds, and he's like 180 pounds body weight. He knows that having a slight mechanical problem will lead to injury and bleeding energy, so he aims to fix them before they arise.
We're looking at running technique to make sure that everything is nice and straight. Running is it's a lot of repetitions, and if there's a slight unbalance, muscle imbalance, then you put like easily thousands of steps on it, which gives injury. And that's why runners are prone to injuries, because if you have that slight low imbalance, you put 10,000 steps on it, it's more likely than not to get injured. So we're just making sure that everything is nice and straight so that we can keep on running and putting in the miles without getting a stupid injury with running. And it also like helps to find like if there is an imbalance, and it's easy to see and easy to correct. So we'll both do it. Just make sure that everything.
Two, balance, coordination, and proprioception. Proprioception is your ability to recognize movement and control your body at your brain's demand. AKA, if I'm coaching you and I show you a single leg deadlift, how closely can you make your body perform that movement to what I showed? How about a Turkish get-up, or a squat clean thruster, or a muscle-up, or a rope climb, or a handstand walk, or a twisting backflip, now on a balance beam? It's like, I can't think of anything harder. I think that these girls now can do a twisting backflip standing and land it on a balance beam, which is just like mind-blowingly inconceivable, right? The point here is that there's a never-ending degree of challenge in this realm. Humans are incredibly capable with our bodies, and if you really sit and watch things that people have achieved mastery in, it's truly incredible. Think about a hole-in-one. Like, think about how crazy that is. And then I posted a video of a guy doing having two hole-in-ones back-to-back. Or Steph Curry making 105 three-pointers in a row. Yes, he did that. I actually shared the video in this. Simone Biles doing anything, Tiger Woods in his prime, Aaron Rodgers fading away, jumping and throwing a dime, and on we go. All of these things start from the foundation of balance and coordination. Standing on 2 feet, can you catch a tennis ball thrown at you? Can you throw it back accurately? What about on 1 foot? What about on 1 foot on a balance apparatus or while jumping? Losing the ability to do some of these relatively simple tasks is a significant sign of mental and physical atrophy. This is a simple, if you don't use it, you lose it mentality. We must always jump into dodgeball, shooting hoops with our kids, kicking the soccer ball, playing spike ball, even cornhole or can jam can be great ways to keep this up. This one sneaks up on people, and many are shocked when they are confronted with some relatively simple balance, coordination, proprioception tests and cannot do them. Three, mobility. So I shared an Instagram video here of a girl doing, she's on a half Bosu ball. And she does a like wrap around pistol with her opposite leg that goes back underneath her and then curls it back around, then crosses it across her body and does another pistol, and just insane. Like one of those things you watch and you're just like, she doesn't even make it look hard. Like it looks, she's smiling the whole time. It looks comically easy. She's not even stressed at all. So that's going to be something that comes up here, but that's the video I showed. You guys can read the blog if you want to watch the videos for this one. It is extremely common that number one and number two on this list are actually most impeded by mobility. If you struggle with getting your body into its full range of motion, then you cannot actually begin to build strength, coordination, or balance in these positions. The first level is being able to express your body's natural positions: squatting, lunging, locking your arms overhead, locking your arms horizontally, hanging, crawling, walking, running, skipping, sprinting, jumping, climbing. Each of these are things that toddlers and preschoolers do with relative consistency and frequency. There isn't much excuse for us to not be able to perform them as adults outside of pure neglect of our body. Many individuals on the qualifier list from the first paragraph cannot do one or many of these positions and movements due to significant mobility restrictions. During a simple assessment, these items become glaring. A question I would pose is, yes, you can complete a marathon, But if you cannot perform a good squat or lunge and struggle to hold a plank, are you actually fit? Are you even healthy? Once we can do the base level of each of these, we can slowly begin to increase the intensity to challenge positions. Many individuals I work with start with a beautiful bodyweight air squat, but when challenged with an empty barbell, the beauty fades quickly, and the range of motion is instantly limited. So step one is achieving the position, and step two is strengthening it, which leads us into number four. Strength, muscle mass, and bone density. In the steps above, we laid out what it takes to express movement. Be injury-free and have no pain in the full range of motion restricting you. Be able to perceive the movement and then get your body to do it. And three, have the mobility required to complete the full range of motion in the joint. Once we've completed these steps, congratulations. You're most of the way to being fit and healthy. You'd actually be surprised how many individuals skip to step four, which is strengthening, while missing out on fixing numbers 1 through 3. But that's a combo for another day. Now that you can get into the beautiful top of a plank position, pain-free, and can lower to the ground for a push-up, it's time to make that full range of motion stronger. I like using the push-up as the example here because it is pretty rare to find people who are strong enough through their entire body to perform a full range of motion perfect push-up. Lord knows I've judged over 1 million shitty push-ups in my day, and I aim to make the world shitty push-up free one day. Well, at least my world. But the push-up is a good example of how if you just perform half reps, you'll never get stronger where you need it. Many people, when they try a push-up, go about a quarter to a half of the way to the full range of motion of their shoulder, and then they try to push back up. This incomplete rep shows that they have not developed the strength in the joint's full range of motion, and thus avoid putting it in that position and ensuring they remain weak there. The same thing happens with squats, lunges, and pull-ups, etc. The sheer avoidance of getting your body to move to the joint's proper range ensures that the position will remain weak. To be healthy and fit, we need strength throughout all of the ranges of motion. You may have seen these rare specimens who can sit into a pause front squat at 2x body weight and drive with power and speed while maintaining form and mechanics. And I posted a video of one. That is the true expression of how mobility and strength interact. This is a very important concept to understand when beginning weightlifting and why coaches are so emphatic that depth or range of motion is paramount early on. If you begin to develop strength in the quarter squat or the quarter push-up, you'll be able to quarter squat 400 pounds, but you'll only be able to full squat 95 pounds. That's a significant issue to overcome, and the longer you let that imbalance develop, the harder it becomes to correct and the more injurious it can become. I have my own impressive feats of strength, but they always take into account the items above. I'm far more impressed by the woman on the BOSU ball and her strength than I am a power lifter in a suit barely touching parallel and squatting 850 pounds. Aim to be strong, but be graceful and smooth at the same time. To do all of them, you must have every element of numbers 1 through 4. Number 5, cardiovascular endurance. The last, and maybe surprising to many of you, the least important is cardiovascular health endurance. The reason that this is the least important is that it's relatively easy and relatively quick to fix compared to the other items. On top of that, if you have all of the other items, aka you're injury-free, have exceptional proprioception, and can repeat any movements I demonstrate with ease, your balance coordinated, mobile, and strong, it'll only take a few short months to get you very cardiovascularly fit. In contrast, most individuals who suffer from chronic cardiorespiratory diseases will go through a large series of losing each of the above items slowly over time, and as a result will begin to move less and be less capable to move. This slowing down effect is what will lead to lower total daily energy expenditure and cause poor lifestyle choices to wreak havoc on their health. This is a huge reason we prefer to start individuals into our build program at Friendship Now. It's hard to go fast and complete movements at pace or intensity required to do real anaerobic training or lactate threshold work if we cannot perform movements with strength and full range of motion. Once we can build that up, building and maintaining cardiovascular endurance is easy. On top of that, your movement is your efficiency rating. Imagine two cars driving down the road. One is a brand new Mercedes. Everything is pristine. It's just off the line. The other is a defunct Mercedes. They accidentally put the tires on crooked and they're all 80% flat. They accidentally put the old oil into it and they used old spark plugs. They left 2,000 pounds of sandbags in the trunk and somebody ripped all the metal off the roof and made everything crooked, ruining all the aerodynamics. Which one's going to get better gas mileage? The same thing is true with our bodies. If our movement is a touch off or we have an imbalance or tension somewhere in our body, the repeated nature of cardiovascular training will highlight those problems. At best, we'll struggle mightily compared to those more efficient movers. At worst, we'll receive injuries consistently. Most people don't realize that to be very cardiovascularly fit, you only really need 2, maybe 3 days of dedicated training to it, and then just reduce how sedentary you are outside of dedicated training. Conclusion. Lastly, it's important to know that the combination of these elements is providing a universal framework for assessment. Individuals can use this template and create their own version of what fitness looks like to them. If you're a librarian, your needs are significantly different than a paramedic, which is different than a Navy SEAL, or a retiree. When we're younger, our needs and demands may lean more on the physically impressive side of things, and the focus on what health is to us may not put much stock in pain and injury. As I train many older individuals now, I've seen firsthand how important it is to retain mobility, proprioception, and stay injury-free. I believe this is a misguided focus and why I put them as number 1 through 3 on my list. So with that, here is my ideal movement assessment and the gold standards I'd love to see without going too crazy deep in the weeds of loading up barbells and things like that. So I start, and this is the friendship movement assessment. Basically, you guys have probably, a lot of you who are listening have gone through this with me or Andy at some point recently. But first, I start with Eileen's. It's a single leg RDL with a leg swing as you stand up, testing proprioception, balance, mobility. Gold standard is no loss of balance, proper back angles maintained, foot above the chin on the kick with a straight leg maintained, both sides being equal in balance and mobility. Second, we do hand overhead walkout lunges. Testing shoulder range of motion, core stability, balance, mobility, core strength, and leg strength. Gold standard is fully locked out arms, palms to the ceiling, maintained and upright as the knee taps the ground and back to a full standing position. No strength difference between the legs. Third is a wide leg hand walkout push-up, testing mobility and upper body strength and range of motion. Perfect is a full pancake stretch with palms on the ground and a controlled walkout to a tall plank with 2 full range of motion push-ups and walk back up to the full pancake stretch under control. 4 is squats. I like to work up to 40, maybe even 50% of a person's body weight with dual dumbbell front squats for 3 reps, 3-second pauses. Full depth hit, back angles maintained, feet equally balanced, no loss of stability upon standing up. 5 pull-ups. Guys, I like to see 4 to 5 reps. Ladies, I like to see 1 to 2 reps. Any grip is fine with me. Lastly, I like to end with Tabata Echo Bike. There really isn't a gold standard. I mean, I probably could make one if I wanted to, but realistically, I just watch the athletes. I want to see if you can push yourself. I want to see if you can maintain that over 8 rounds. And then I want to see how you recover within the 5 to 10 minutes after you're completed with the test. Everyone's power output when they're introduced to a new machine. For a lot of people, the Echo Bike's a new machine. It's not always perfect. And so it's best not to set a black and white standard here. Most everyone who comes on board, sorry, I already said this in the podcast, but most everyone who comes on board now at Friendship completes a similar assessment or a scaled version. This helps us assess what issues we'll need to address when we begin training. Obviously, we ask about pain and injuries beforehand as well. I've found that even this simple test can pose a challenge to even the fittest of people. I hope that you can use it to assess what areas needs additional focus for you and what might be holding you back from being considered fit and healthy. I know for me, it's mobility. So, this came up, when people make references to friendship and stuff, like, I love that. It's my favorite way for us to grow is for friends of friends to come and to, grow internally. And, if you've got awesome people in your life, like, I want to meet those awesome people because I love awesome people. And who doesn't love being around awesome people? And, we've had, I'd say, our core growth for years, right? For, the first probably 8 years, I don't think I really spent any time at all on marketing. It was all just word of mouth stuff. The interesting thing though is how people will put those individuals into like a box a little bit, right? It's like, you're introducing your friend and you're introducing them to me. It's like, hey, I've got my friend. He wants to join. And then they like hit him with these descriptors. Like, yeah, he's a Division I lacrosse player. And, you know, now he does triathlons. And like, they set him up for this, like this big thing. And then like, in my mind, I'm always just like, okay, like that's cool. And I try not to think too much of it because I want everyone to get their own honest assessment. And so I don't like give it a lot of credence. But I think what's interesting sometimes is when those individuals come on, based on those markers, I think people tell them like, oh, Mike, things will come easy to you because you were a Division I athlete, right? Or, you know, they think like, oh, this person's a stud. Like they've done all these things in their life and this is going to come so easy to them. But what they don't realize is like something little, like having a really tight thoracic and really tight shoulders. And maybe they had like a knee surgery when they were playing Division I lacrosse, right? That you didn't know about. And they never rehabbed it the right way. And they have serious instability in that joint. And so when they come in, they do this movement assessment, like, you know, it sometimes can be tough because it's like, it can be an ego hit to people, right? They think of themselves as this stud athlete who's achieved these things. And then they do, you know, a movement screen and they go through like a simple test and they can't do a lot of the things. And so, you know, I just always think that that stuff's important to just kind of keep an eye on and, you know, just always be focusing as much as you can on your own race and where you could be better and things like that. Like we have some, honestly, like it's, I hate using this like name, right? But I'm just going to say it because you guys will know what I'm saying. But like, we have like stay at home Dublin moms, right? And that's got like this like marker, right? And I hate that because I love all of you, but who are badasses. Like, this is what I mean. Like, and you would never know it, right? Like they don't sign up for our competitions. They don't, you know, they don't post anything on a PR board. They keep their stuff on pen and paper. You know, you might see them come and work out, but like they're off in the shadows. They're over in the corner. They do their own thing. You know, they're not loud or boisterous. They just come in and go about the work. And we have like dozens of these people. And when you actually watch them, you're like, holy shit, she is a beast. And like, I love that, you know, that's so cool for me. And like, you see people who it's like pistol day. And, you know, you see people who otherwise, you know, on back squat day, you know, they're lifting 500 pounds, you know, and on deadlift day, they're lifting 600 pounds. But then comes pistol day and, you know, they can't do it at all. And like, this is me to a T, right? I'm describing myself, right? Like pistols take me like an hour to warm up. I can do them, right? But they take like an hour to warm up to. And you'll just get these people who just, you know, otherwise are unassuming. On back squat day, it's unremarkable, right? To everybody else. But on pistol day comes up and they just start banging them out because they've got great proprioception, balance, coordination. They have great mobility. They have great strength. So in actuality, like those people are fitter than me, right? By my standards, they are a fitter person. So somebody who can do a beautiful, perfect, unrestricted bodyweight pistol with ease, like on call right now without warming up, you are fitter than me, right? And that's the way that I look at things. That's the way that I view that. And now those people, if I told them that, I think sometimes like they would be shocked by that, right? Because I'm good at other things. But I'm missing a fundamental piece of my balance, my coordination, my mobility, and my strength in the full range of motion of my hip relative to my body weight, right? And that's a problem. And so like this is the important thing to think about when we think about what is real health. Like those women, I'm thinking about a couple women specifically, right? But I won't name names, but those women specifically, they are going to live very long, prosperous lives, full of health and capability and function. They're going to be that badass, like 90-year-old grandma still like going out for runs and doing things and knocking out push-ups. And their great grandkids are going to be talking about how much of a badass she is. Like that's who that's going to be. I can already see it, right? Like I can just see it just in the way that they go about their day to day, in the way that they treat nutrition, in the way that they treat things, like they just do the right things the right ways. And yeah, they might not push to, you know, really, really crazy levels on weightlifting items like that. So they might not get like as much fanfare from the crowd. You know, they're not turning the heads, right? Because they're lifting crazy weights. they are exceptionally healthy and fit. And the longer I do this, the more I appreciate that, the more I aspire to that, right? The more that I find that incredibly, you know, attractive and appealing to the people that I'm training and coaching, right? That's very fun for me to work with. It's very fun for me to coach and see, and just impressive. And I think sometimes when I tell people that, like, I'm like, that is just so impressive. Like, I am so impressed by that. I think they like think I'm fucking with them. And I like, I'm so not. Like, I really truly mean it deep in my heart. Like, if I'm like, that is just so impressive. Like, if I see somebody knock out perfect pushups and just nothing else, right? Like, they might not be able to deadlift 100 pounds, but they do a perfect push. I'm like, that is amazing. Like, thank you so much. That is so impressive, because nobody does perfect pushups. Like, they don't. It just doesn't happen, right? So it's, you know, as I really want to get you guys listening to this, reading this, I want you guys to have a concept or have a mental framework better than what the world imposes on us. If we go back to that very beginning paragraph, the world imposes those titles on us as if those are what health and fitness is, you know. So I put marathoner, triathlete, Ironman, powerlifter, professional football player, D1, this or that, right? I put those things in there and just hear your programming in your head right now. Hear your programming in your head. When I say that, when I say Ironman, when I say professional football player, you think in your head, like, athlete, healthy, fit, right? Oh my gosh, they're a triathlete. They're healthy. They must be healthy and fit, right? Like, we automatically go there, right? And what I want you to wrap your mental framework around is those titles have nothing to do with health and fitness. And we need to reframe, in actuality, we need to reframe how we actually think about health and fitness, how we think about like that as a concept. Because if we actually think about it as those things, a lot of times we'll end up getting further away from it, not closer to it. Right? We'll actually do the wrong things if we are trying to be healthy and fit. And it's not like all wrong, right? It's directionally right. Like, we're moving more, we're moving with intention, we're trying to get better, those things. But a lot of times, especially when we're doing things recreationally, like if we look at a recreational triathlete or Ironman athlete who I've worked with before, they are really missing out a lot of times on strength training, on mobility, balance and coordination starts to suffer. They have chronic injuries all the time. They're not healthy and fit. And so again, we go back to that, you know, Dublin mom who's just a badass over in the corner. Her body feels great. She's never felt better. She's super lean. Her joints are super strong. She's got great muscle mass and bone density. She has excellent mobility, phenomenal coordination, strength through the full range of motion of her hips. You know, her knee doesn't feel like it's going to break off if she goes for a 5-mile run tomorrow. She is exceptionally healthy and fit, right? So just something for you guys to kind of think about, chew on a little bit today. You know, chew on the you know, my biggest thing, I'm huge on being a critical thinker in your own right and just chewing on the programming that's been fed to us and why it's been fed to us a certain way and why we talk about people a certain way, like why we give them those titles, why we ask those questions, and just think about how those things are force-fed to us through, you know, and now it's probably mostly social media, but before that it was magazines and advertisements and sponsorships and deals and all these things. And, you know, sometimes it can be very misguided for those of us who have other aspirations, which is to be phenomenally healthy and fit for our kids, for our grandkids throughout the rest of our lives. And I want to wake up at 85 or 90 and my body to feel pretty damn good and be able to go out for a run, be able to do pull-ups, be able to do that stuff. Like that's the goal. That is the goal. So hope this finds you guys well. Hope you guys have a great week. Talk to you soon.